Welcome to the Gainesville Gridiron Podcast. All things high school sports. Hosted by Gainesville Sun sports writer, Graham Hall.
And you are listening in to another edition of the Gainesville Gridiron Podcast. I am your host, Graham Hall. Thank you for listening today. I want to thank everyone that took the opportunity and chance on us and listening to the very first episode. It's only up from here. We have a really good show planned today. We're going to be recapping last week. We have a great guest today. We're going to be doing our five picks. But before I get into that, I got to say, what a wild time it is to be doing this podcast. I was talking to Brad a little bit ago about how weird this year is and how there have been some better years to do this. But that shouldn't preclude us from getting into it because there's so much new information out there. Not only just about COVID-19 and how the offseason has been different for so many teams, but everything has changed, I think, a lot in the last 5 years in a local level. Part of what inspired me to really be doing this podcast when Brad approached me about getting this underway was the countless conversations I have with people where I say to them, do you know this about high school sports and so many things? The topics are countless. The transfer rules, I could get into them so many here, but we're going to have a lot of future episodes about them where we bring on people who are more qualified than me to talk about some of the decisions the FHSA has made in the area and all that. That's why we're doing this. But so many things have changed over the last few years that I think people just can't keep up with it all, and that's why we want to do this. Just to recap, last week we spoke with Mike Rideau of thepreppzone.com, does a great job every single week, and in true 2020 fashion, we end that interview and find out right away that the Buchholz GHS game is postponed. I look at Brad, I pick up my stuff and thinking that, hey, we got to can the entire episode and reframe here. But that's not the way that teams do it when their game gets canceled. So that's not the way that we were going to do it. When I talked to Brad a little bit later, thinking, who's Buchholz going to end up playing? Are they going to get a team? Are they going to be able to take the field? That's how tenuous this entire situation was, how fickle the entire thing was. For those who don't know, Buchholz did end up playing last week. They played George Steinbrenner High School. For those who don't know, George Steinbrenner High School, I think many people out there have got to be aware of who George Steinbrenner is. But you talk about the Warriors themselves, that is a team that last year, when I saw they were going to play Buchholz, I'm thinking, holy crap, we may have a top team coming to Gainesville. You know, George Steinbrenner was one of the top 10 teams in not just their area, but the state of Florida last year. They were in states a few years ago. I want to say in the 2018 season. I don't have it right here in front of me, but when we talked to Mark Whittemore, Buchholz head coach, after the game last week, he was really impressed with his team's effort while noting that George Steinbrenner had lost a whole lot of talent from the year before. That was a really good team that they faced. Buchholz did pull out the win, came away with it in the fourth quarter. It was very back and forth there before a combined five touchdowns from Quan Lee and Quandarius Smith let the Bobcats get the win there at Citizens Field last week. We're definitely going to try and get Coach Whittemore on the podcast throughout the season. He's a very busy coach right now, as you can tell. But he wasn't the only coach in the area that was extremely busy, but he probably was the happiest. Hawthorne had a 17-point lead over Bradford in the fourth quarter, and mental mistakes when I talked to their team, talked to their head coach, Cornelius Ingram, and their defensive coordinator, Sederic Daniels, they said it was just mental mistakes by their team that allowed Bradford to pull out that victory. A little bit later here in the pod, we're going to recap Newberry and Dixie County, some other local teams here, but we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to get Jordan Kroger on the podcast. I actually joined his podcast a little bit ago where we talked Columbia and high school sports up in that area. So he's going to be returning the favor with us here. He does cover the Tigers up there in Lake City, along with Fort White and Santa Fe. And for those who know here in Gainesville, Columbia is a very interesting situation, has been very competitive in recent years, but they're 0-3 right now to start the season. They played some very, very good teams, and they had their game against Gainesville High School postponed, if not canceled, this season. So we're going to talk to Jordan and find out just what is happening up there with the Tigers and a few other teams, get his take because he's been covering the area for a long time, and then we'll be right back after these messages. are back with another edition after the break of the Gainesville Gridiron Podcast. I'm your host, Graham Hall, here with the Gainesville Sun. You know, I'm really excited to have our next guest on. I said that I had been on his podcast in the past talking high school football, and he's someone that I've looked up to as I've started covering high school sports in the area. Does a really good job at the Lake City Reporter. Jordan, how are you doing today? Thanks for joining me. You know, what a strange year. I keep saying this to be starting doing a podcast on our end, but you got a lot of experience doing here. How about you tell everyone how long you've been doing this and a little bit about you?
Hey, thanks for having me on, Graham. You know, I've been doing high school sports for a while. I started freelancing in South Florida, doing Broward County for a while and Palm Beach County, and then I came up here to Lake City for a little bit, and then I went down to Charlotte County for a little bit, and I'm back up here pretty much just doing Columbia County with a little bit of Suwannee County too now.
And you've had a chance to cover some really, really competitive Columbia teams. Just for those who don't know, especially because I hate to use the term bubble because that seems to be overused these days, but for those who don't know in the area, just how talented has Columbia been in recent years? What have they been like since you've been covering them? And what are some of the other teams in the area that are competitive as well?
I mean, you look at pretty much the area you cover, Graham, I would say the last, probably since Brian Allen's taken over at Columbia, most years I would say Columbia's probably been the best team in the area. This year, not so much because they're a little bit of a down year. But you look back through the last few years, I mean, the Columbia hasn't missed the playoffs since Brian Allen took over in 2011. They've been to a Final Four. They've been to a regional final, several regional semifinals. I think there's only been, maybe a couple other schools from Alaska kind of gotten to a state semi in the last decade. So Columbia's up there, man, when you talk about teams that you cover at least.
And you took the trip down there for state playoffs last year. You mentioned a down year this year. Is it a lack of talent? Is it the strange circumstances? What is it that's Columbia contributed to this 0-3 start by Columbia?
Columbia is really young this year, and their numbers are down, too. Usually, their varsity roster is, towards 100 players, sometimes over that. Right now, they're hovering around, 65, 70. So they have a lot less guys. Their biggest issue, though, is they don't really have a quarterback at the moment. You know, they had Jordan Smith the last 3 years, who's now at USF. He left the program as the all-time leading passer. So trying to replace him is obviously going to be a tall task. Now, you put on top of them not having spring football to develop a guy, and then Columbia didn't do anything over the summer either, just with COVID precautions. So they didn't really get going with football until September, or maybe I guess it was probably late August. And they had a later start than a lot of other schools, so they didn't play their first game until the middle of September. So trying to develop a quarterback with a lot less practice time than you would typically have has definitely contributed. And it's shown here through the first 3 weeks. I mean, Brian Allen has tried a lot of different things. He even tried running some read option last week in their loss. So against Madison County. So, man, the quarterback is the biggest issue right now. They've got some offensive line issues, too, some new guys in. Their center's currently out. They had some bad snaps last week, too. But I kind of point towards the quarterback right now of why Columbia's kind of off this 0-3 start.
And that always has to be difficult, not only for any player getting there, but especially the quarterback position when you're trying to either install a new offense or you're going through just a 2-week period of practice with trying to build that rapport with your wide receiver and the coaching staff as well and navigate everything else. To your knowledge, how much were teams able to do in June and July area? Because when we talk to area teams, they either had to stop things or got everyone tested, which is certainly not something that every team or every area even can do. What was that like, that summer period, like for many of those programs that you guys cover?
Well, as I mentioned, Columbia wasn't really doing much, but Fort White did all summer conditioning with no issues. So they had basically a full training camp as they were getting ready for the season to start. And they had a little bit of a later start too because of the county calendar to kind of put on them. But Fort White had no issues. Suwannee had no issues. Brantford had no issues. And Suwannee and Brantford started right when the FSA said they could start. They started August 24th. So those schools kind of got lucky, I would say, because you, as you mentioned, Graham, a lot of schools I've seen have shut down for 2 weeks. I know you've had the issue with GHS not that long ago.
Yeah, certainly. That is something that remains a situation in flux in a sense, because we don't really know when the Canes are going to be able to return to the field. I know that they have a game on the roster coming up, but you look at the situation with the testing turnaround and when kids could return to the field, you may see a situation where they only end up playing five games this season. Maybe, you know, you mentioned that playoff streak for some of these teams. All those teams that started right away are going to get to be in the playoffs, which kind of begs the question, if do you think that some of these teams have a chance at improving as the season goes on, getting into playoffs, or is this really a situation where it's just about participating this year? I know, because the competition, the chance for preparation in spring and the summer, it's so necessary for so many of these teams, especially teams like GHS that are installing new head coaches. Mm-hmm. What do you see is going to be the outcome of this in the next 2 months?
You know, when this season was getting underway, the way I kind of looked at it was, it's kind of a lost season. I was looking at, I guess from Columbia's perspective, they only had four games on the schedule at the time. They got five now, but I was kind of looking at it as a lost season. Like, this is a year where, hey, you play as many games as you can play. You get your players some film. Hopefully you get them some scholarships, and then you look forward to next year. That was kind of the approach I had taken going into this season, because, I mean, you're only playing five games. You're playing half a season. It's and everyone's going to the playoffs. You're not really playing for anything in a regular season either. You're on a blind draw going to the playoffs. So I just it's really a lost season to me, man. It's just so different and so odd.
Which is so sad, because so many of these athletes are talented and would rely on this season for sometimes getting that scholarship, whether it be Division I in a lot of kids' cases, but the JUCO route, Division II, this season is so necessary for so many kids, and to see that kind of be a wasted season in a sense is, I think, really sad for many people, because any other year, those kids get a fair opportunity. You know, I don't want to talk strictly football, though, while I have you, because I know that you have a chance to cover many indoor sports, and that is just something that's starting to get underway here with volleyball and basketball being close to starting. What have you heard from that area about what they're doing to keep some of these kids safe as they start playing indoor sports and start traveling, and some of those risks associated with that?
I know volleyball here really limited travel this past fall. In fact, Columbia's volleyball team opted out of the state series. They didn't. They were in a district with the Tallahassee team. They didn't want to take the risk of traveling to Tallahassee either during the season or for a district tournament. Now, as far as basketball goes, they've started conditioning. As far as what their approach is going to be when they finally start getting the practice, I'm not really sure yet. I haven't really had a chance to get to the basketball side of things with football still going on. But, I mean, I think they're kind of looking at it as hopefully things will be pretty normal. We can kind of just run a normal schedule, and hopefully, you know, the FCAA has the normal plan in place where, you know, they have a normal playoff system and all that kind of stuff. But that's going to be really interesting. I'm glad you brought it up, because I've been curious to see how, not so much soccer, but how basketball is going to kind of roll this winter, because obviously you're still going to have issues with COVID, and everything's completely different when you're inside a gym packed with, I don't know, what, 50 to 100 people probably at a time.
Yeah, we haven't even heard anything about fans, what could happen. Still so much at play here, but like you said, we're pretty focused on football here as well, and we definitely want to keep that the focus. Columbia has a game against Lee this weekend, right, Jordan? I got to get your take on what you think is going to happen, because Lee is supposed to be one of the top 50 teams in the state, if you ask some people. How do you think that game's going to go? I know that you've mentioned a lot about Columbia's issues, but do you think the Tigers have a chance at pulling the upset here?
I mean, I think they've got a shot. I don't think they're going to beat Lee, though. I mean, Columbia's offense has just been such a mess the last 2 weeks. I mean, they barely managed to get 14 points against Florida High, and then they were scoreless against Madison County. Now, that Madison County game, there were some bright spots. Even though they put up zero on the scoreboard, they did get to Madison County's 30-yard line and end four times and then just didn't score. They failed on fourth down four times. So they were able to move the ball a little bit. Now, maybe with another week of preparation with some added wrinkles to their offense, as I mentioned, they were trying to run some some read option with cornerback Shaheem Brown, who's a three-star recruit, and then a little bit with receiver Trey Tolliver, in addition to their normal quarterbacks, Cade Jackson and Ty Wanger, who kind of run the pro-style part of the offense. But their offense is what's going to, I think, going to hold them back, because Robert E. Lee's defense is really, really good, and they love to bring six-man, seven-man pressure. Columbia's got a young offensive line that's a kind of a recipe for disaster. And Columbia's had good teams in the past couple of years that have struggled to beat Robert E. Lee. And now you're talking about taking a young Columbia team. Granted, the game's in Lake City, but against a pretty good Robert E. Lee team, I just don't see how Columbia can pull off the upset. I give them a little slight chance, but I think Lee's just going to be too good for Columbia on Friday.
I like your assessment. You know, I'm interested in seeing this Lee team in person when they're in Gainesville against GHS. When GHS goes there on October 30th, Jordan, thanks so much for joining me. Can you tell everyone out there where they can follow your great coverage, especially for this upcoming Columbia Lee game and what you got going on in the near future?
Yeah, I mean, you can follow me on Twitter at @ByJordanKruger. You can also follow the Lake City sports account at @LCR_sports. I got tons of football coverage pretty much every day rolling through Lake City. I mean, usually got a follow-up on Monday from the Columbia game Friday, and then I usually hit Columbia practice before I practice during the week. And we've got coverage of Swanee and Brantford, too, from my coworker, Jamie Walker. So plenty of stuff if you're interested in Columbia County and Swanee County sports over on @LCR_sports.
Awesome. Hey, I'm looking forward to checking it out myself because there's so many great games out here that you can't really keep up unless we can follow great people like yourself. Thanks for joining me today, Jordan. We're going to have to do it again in the near future. Take care, my friend.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, we are back with the second episode of the Gainesville Gridiron Podcast. Again, I'm your host, Graham Hall. Want to thank Jordan for joining us. Some excellent, excellent analysis. He does a great job. I've had a really good chance to get to know him since he's been covering football in this area and really admire the work that he does. So I hope you all follow him for great coverage in the area. But now we're bringing it to the stuff that I know you all are looking for, and that is the hot takes. But I can't be making them on my own. No. And I unfortunately took away his shot at giving a fair intro last time. So I want to turn the microphone over to my cohort, my co-host, call him whatever you want, the man behind the microphone. Brad, how are you doing today?
Doing good, Graham Hall. Usually I'm not behind the microphone. I'm usually on the other side.
Behind the camera, behind the lens.
Or behind the camera. That's where I like to be. Much, much more preferred that, you know. But
well, there you go. Correct the record. Tell everyone out there what you do and how you have this much knowledge about high school sports and everything around the area.
I try. Well, I've been the staff photographer here at the Gainesville Sun for almost 14 years, so I've covered a lot of great games from all the teams in the area. You know, I've seen a lot of high school sports, not just football, but from cross country to swimming and volleyball and soccer, basketball, just you name it. I've been to pretty much every high school sports there are in the area and I've gotten a chance to cover forever. And, you know, Graham, I've seen grow and grow into a really great reporter covering our high school sports.
No.
And I've always thought, man, we really need a podcast that can utilize some of the information that he's able to glean from these teams in the area. And I thought this was a great idea, a chance for us to do something that, you know, get our content out there in a new way. So, you know, Graham, we're gonna go with this and see what people think.
You know, I think that even though we are behind a mask on the sideline for the first time, it's only fitting that we are unmasked in the newsroom talking about this stuff. And you were out there a couple weeks ago with me shooting the GHS game. The Buholz game you've seen. You weren't there at the Buholz game recently. I don't know what you were doing.
But I was in Williston.
They had that's right. They send you out there because you probably have better gas mileage than me. You know, you've seen some really good teams in this area. I haven't got a chance to go out there and see Williston or Newberry yet in person, but I've seen a lot of Buholz. I've seen a lot of Dixie County from covering them last year. I've seen a lot of Gainesville. Now kind of our worlds are colliding with some of these teams because you and I are getting a chance to go in opposite directions and scout opposite opponents. And that really makes it interesting to me because we can bring some of this stuff to the table and we can come back and say, well, what'd you see tonight? Yeah. And you say, oh, well, I saw this. They scored 52 points tonight. And then we can really have a thorough assessment of these teams. That's what I think makes this so interesting in a sense, because you and I are hardly in the same place.
But when we are, we're getting a good chance to cover some really good high school football.
Well, that's true, Graham. And I think that this will be a great venue for us to talk about all that stuff. And, you know, let's just jump right into it. You mentioned it, you know, the local big win, Buchholz. They get a big win, 48-28 over Steinbrenner High School. They had to come in after that GHS game was canceled last week because of COVID. You know, Buchholz gets a big win. They're 4-0 now, but they have a challenge coming up. Fletcher from Jacksonville, a big game that they're going to have to go on the road for. What do you see happening?
Yeah, it's a very tough game. You know, I think that Fletcher, you know, not just one of the top 100 teams in the state, you got to give them a whole lot of credit. Absolutely. You know, 4-1 right now, and justified in a sense. They start the season beating Parker. They beat Flagler, Palm Coast, and they're doing it on the backs of their defense. I mean, two shutouts in that span, and that's what's so interesting to me about this matchup. Fletcher has a really good defense, and you look around the areas, and that's one of those things that is lacking based on when you talk to people about what was affected by COVID. It was the ability to tackle and really install different defensive schemes. I mean, that has not affected Fletcher whatsoever. It's going to be a very tough game for Buchholz. For those who don't know, last week or 2 weeks ago against Eastside, Buchholz lost starting quarterback Jack Hevesy, who knows for how long, and that forced coach's son Creed Whittemore to be the starting quarterback, which he's done for the last seven quarters. And they have only given up, I think they've scored nearly 100 points in that span, and their defense has given up 28 points in those seven quarters combined that he's been at quarterback. So don't get me wrong, Buchholz has some weapons. I could see that a shot where they have a chance to score early here, but I'm going to have to go with Fletcher. That is a better team all around right now. Buchholz still is a little bit young. Creed Whittemore is a sophomore quarterback. He's going to get a lot better if he keeps working at this rate, but I'm going to have to give it to Fletcher this week.
Man, those Whittemore boys over there at Buchholz, huh?
Yeah, they're a dynasty. You know, everyone talks about the Ball family, but when are the Whittemores going to get their clothing apparel line? I mean, for those who don't know, Luke Whittemore, the oldest son, is a wide receiver at Troy University. Trent Whittemore, a wide receiver at the University of Florida. And Creed Whittemore, the sophomore quarterback at the Buchholz Bobcats now, started the season playing safety, played some wide receiver, played some running back, taken more after Trent. All those guys grow up playing athletic sports, not just football, basketball, baseball, you name it. Very athletic family, and you're seeing another one come to life right now in Citizens Field, Brad.
Yeah, most definitely. All right, let's move on to another local team. We're going to talk PK. You know, PK Young coming off two tough losses the last 2 weeks, but really close, hard-fought games, you know. Losing to Hawthorne 14-13, losing to Taylor County 16-14. It's only 3 points in losses in the last 2 weeks. You know, they've got a tough Bradford team coming in. I believe it's going to be here this week, or it might be at Bradford. But they got to play Bradford this week, who's coming off a big win over over Hawthorne last week. So what do you think about this PK Bradford game?
Yeah, another very good local game. You know, PK, you mentioned those tough games, those close losses. That's absolutely the way to look at it. They had a 13-0 lead over Hawthorne heading into the fourth quarter before they lost that game 14-13. You know, I think that PK has definitely made huge improvements lately, but Bradford coming off a very good victory over Hawthorne, so they've got that mutual game advantage. I'm going to have to give it to Bradford right now here. They came back from 17 points down to win 28-25. Started the season with some rough games, but you look at the teams that Bradford played. Madison County, they only lost 14-0 to Madison County. I know I say 14-0, but that is a Madison County team that is well known as one of the better local area teams. They're 5-1 right now.
Great offense.
Probably one of the top 75 teams in the state. So I think that you have to give Bradford a lot of credit there. I'm thinking they beat PK Young on Friday.
All right. And then so we go into that team that Bradford played. I know you want to say something about Hawthorne. They lost a close game to Bradford last week, but it does look like on the schedule they will play Palatka this week. What do you think about that matchup? You're going to be there.
Yeah, it's going to be a bounce back game for Hawthorne. You look at Palatka right now, 0-6. This is a Hawthorne team that I think is more talented, and mental mistakes, like I said, cost them that game against Bradford. I think that they get the bounce back victory for Coach CI and that defense that I think has come a long way for Hawthorne. A lot of very close games in the area. I'm liking the Hornets on Friday.
Excellent. And so we're going to talk about the big game now. The big game of the week is not in town. It is in Alachua County, but it's going to be a little west of town. You're going to be heading, it's going to be at Newberry. So Newberry's got a huge game against Dixie County. 2-1-loss teams. Last week, Newberry rolled to a big win. 54 points they put up over Hamilton County. Now, I've seen this Newberry team twice. They run the ball really well and play amazing defense. I was very surprised when I went out there to see them how good the defense actually was and how quick some of their running backs are. What do you think they've got to do to keep the winning going and beat Dixie County?
Yeah, you mentioned one-loss teams, Brad. I mean, both of those losses for Newberry and for Dixie County came in the first game of the season. So everything that we've talked about with Jordan and on this podcast so far has been about how different this year is, the lack of preparation. And I think that that really came into play for both of these teams. Only 2 weeks of preparation definitely contributed to those losses. Newberry's first loss was to Hawthorne, 20-14, hence why I give Hawthorne a whole lot of credit. And Dixie County lost narrowly to a Union County team, which, no offense to Union County, is just not as good as they have been in recent years. Both of those teams have looked much better since. I'm going with your analysis, though, of Newberry. You mentioned that Williston game that they won 26-24. I think that the Panthers here are the better team right now, despite that loss to Hawthorne. They beat Union County as well. I think the Panthers are going to have a narrowly pull that one out.
All right, Graham. Well, you know, that's some great analysis from the two of us. Now, why don't we get into some picks? We got five games that we're going to pick real quick. And so the first one's going to be Union County Williston.
Ooh, yeah. See, Williston, like I said, I think that Coach Rick Whittington, despite just having two wins on his slate this year, has had a much better football team program as of late. You know, I'm going to have to give it to Williston. I think that they have a chance to pull this one out. You know, Union County, a very good team, obviously, in recent years, but pretty young here for Coach Andrew Thomas. They did get a win, and they moved into above 500 right now, but I'm actually picking Williston to pull the upset. I guess, in a sense.
The upset.
Upset.
All right, so a couple of these other ones we've sort of talked about. So how about Buchholz-Fletcher? That's another big game for our local team. Who's going to win that one?
Yeah, I think that Fletcher, just a very good team. You got to give them a whole lot of credit. I think Buchholz is just a little young. Like I said, I think Creed Whittemore just has only played quarterback for two games, even though he probably has been doing that for a lot longer outside of Citizens Field. I'm going to have to give it to Fletcher. I think that they are going to pull the double-digit victory on Friday.
And we, you know, we don't cover a ton of Marion County teams here, but we're going to try and throw a Marion County game in there for the picks just so we can get it talking a little bit. And this week, huge rivalry that has been there forever. Not as big this year because one of the teams is down a little bit, but Vanguard plays North Marion this weekend. Usually a huge game between these two powerhouses in Ocala.
These teams are actually on a little bit of separate paths than a lot of our other area teams because they've only had a chance to play two games so far, at least in the case of Vanguard. Last week, they picked up that victory over Westport, 43-6. Open the season with a victory over another Ocala Power, Forest High School. This week, they have North Marion, who has played three games as well, but it hasn't yet to get a win. I'm thinking that Vanguard pulls that victory out by double digits. You look at some of the weapons that the Knights have over there in Ocala. You know, Tremonte Rucker, Bryce Langston, I've talked about them several times already. Star wide receiver, star defensive end for Vanguard. I think that simply too much talent for Coach Farmer's team, and they get the victory. You know, I keep using that term, top 100 teams in the state of Florida. So many people love to talk about the powerhouses of South Florida, but we have multiple top 70, top whatever you want to call it, teams in this area, and Vanguard has got to be one of them, Brad.
Most definitely. They're a big, bunch of big boys over there. So one of the other games, so we got two games left to pick, and we've kind of talked a little bit about the PK Young Bradford game. So who do you got in that one? PK Young Bradford.
I think Bradford's got it, but PK Young has just been in so many one possession losses. And you'd have to think that this team is going to break through. They've been relatively healthy throughout the season. Playing six games, I think, has helped them more than I think any other in this area aside from Newberry. You know, I could see it going either way. I'm actually going to flip my pick from a few minutes ago. I know that's kind of crazy.
What?
And I'm going to go with PK Young in the one-point victory.
A one-point victory. They've had the two close games, so they deserve a close win, right?
One of them goes in their favor. I'm going the blue wave here, man.
All right, the wave. And then our final game we're going to pick is probably the biggest game of the weekend locally. You know, I mean, hey, it may be the biggest game. You know, Newberry will play Dixie County over there in Newberry. If you want to see a great small-town football, this is where to go Friday night. What do you think about Newberry-Dixie County?
You know, you mentioned that rushing attack. I think that you look around at some of these other teams, that's not a commodity that everyone else has. I think that Newberry, if they can establish the run and get some easy touchdowns early, they could pull away with that game and really run out the clock in a sense when defense is really at a luxury as well. My gut has me really torn on this one because both teams have followed such similar paths in a sense after that one loss game, after that one loss at the beginning of the season, and you really can't take too much away from their mutual opponents. I'm going to go with Newberry by 4 points, but I could easily see this game going either way. Dixie County, you have to know that every single year there, they're going to have a talented football team. They had a down year a couple of years ago, but that's as talented as a team as you'll see in this area. I'm going to go with Newberry by 4 points, but maybe this is a cop-out. I wouldn't be surprised either way. You and I have such varying perspectives because there's so many teams in this area that we hardly get a chance to cover them all. We get to talk about more than we get to see, but we're always going to be at some of the games in the top area. I want to thank you for doing this and for putting me on the spotlight. I'm going to put you on the spotlight here in a couple of weeks and turn around and make you make some picks so you can feel what this hot seat is like.
All right, I'm ready. I'm ready.
You got to be ready for it, man. You got to be ready for it. You know, I got to be so diplomatic with some of these teams out there, but ultimately when you put the spotlight on me, I'm going to tell you what I think, and I'm ready to be wrong sometimes, and that's going to absolutely happen. So that's what makes it so good and what makes these games so exciting. So you've been listening to the second episode of the Gainesville Gridiron Podcast. I want to thank everyone out there. You can follow me on Twitter at GrahamHall_ for consistent coverage throughout this week's games. You can check us out on Gainesville.com for all of this weekend's coverage. And we'll be back next week with the Gainesville Gridiron Podcast.